Raglan Road, it's good to come to you once again with the word of God. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you so much for a brand new year, 2021. We thank you for what you are doing in your church. We thank you for helping us get fitter and stronger in you by teaching us what to put off, teaching us what to put on, teaching us how to grow stronger and stronger in you. I pray that you enlighten our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. I do appreciate the leadership of the church for the opportunity to speak to God's chosen people. I've been given a sub-team, Get Fit, What to Lose. I'll be taking my readings from the New Living Translation. I'll be taking my main theme reading from Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 11. As you can see, I'm wearing my gym outfit or my gym gear. I'm a fitness person. And so most of my talk this very time would center around fitness, because that's the theme I'm working on. Most people, sadly, sort of plan to lose a few pounds here and there, beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, and some plan even to gain some strength and stuff like that. But tragically, it doesn't seem to apply a lot when it comes to the spiritual version, gaining some spiritual muscle, losing some spiritual weight. And I'm praying that God will give me the grace to talk about this. Some go to the extent of paying membership dues at the gym and not even attend. And start to see that it happens with the spiritual version. Some don't have the right gym membership. And unfortunately, some even don't have the right spiritual gym membership. I pray that those whose membership are not up to date will be renewed. You renew your salvation, your knowledge on your salvation. You renew your commitment to your membership in the Christian body. You see, and that's what the Bible talks about, work out your salvation. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, in the New Living Translation, this is what the Bible says: "Dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work out." The NLT says, "Work hard to show the result of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear." The items that needs to be removed, because you can't put anything you want in your food. You check the label. You spend time to check things because you want to make sure you are healthy, you are fit. And I want to put to you this afternoon that a similar exercise ought to be done when it comes to your spiritual journey. And so hopefully we'll go through a few elements, things you need to lose as part of your commitment to the body of Christ. We started with the book of Colossians, which talked a lot about who Christ is, a member of the Trinity who gave his life for you and I. And Paul goes on to admonish us that he is the preeminence of our life. I have a question for you. Is he preeminent in your life? Is he the center of your life? Have you come to the gym of God's salvation to make him Lord over your life? It's a question you need to answer yourself. Sometimes you tend to mix or understand or not very comfortable with even the terminology. But I want to say that to be born again is a one-off experience that you have after coming to Christ. But salvation is a continuous process. Our salvation is like, using the gym analogy, continuing to go to the gym all the time to make sure you are fitter, you are stronger, you can run better, you can do things properly. It's a process, and that will continue until we get to heaven. As we've been told, that to work out our salvation And we need to do that with fear and trembling. Today, we hear a lot about Christian dedication. But what is that dedication? And my simple definition is that a dedicated Christian is one who has made Christ the preeminence of his or her life. Amen. And I'll be mentioning a few things, talking about sin. And sometimes people get so uncomfortable about it. But according to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, listen to what they say. It says, for everyone has sinned. We all fell or fall short of God's glorious standards. So what is it? Sin. Sin is falling short of God's glorious standard. And it's simply because in the Garden of Eden, you remember Adam and Eve could talk to God. But all of a sudden, they lost that ability to talk to him. It was God's glorious standard they lost. And in this day and age, if you are not in God, if you are not in Christ, you cannot have that fellowship with him. And this is the reason why Jesus had to come and die for you and I. Listen to why he died in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the right place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus was going to go to the cross with a kind of joy. He was awaiting for a joy. And that joy was because he was to restore to you the glory of God. If you read Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. You are destined for glory. You've been chosen to come to glory because Jesus had to die for you. So, Jesus' death is for your advantage. May I encourage you to explore more of Jesus. Try to know more of him. Try to get to a stand where you can talk to him. He can talk to you. He speaks. You see? And this pandemic is giving us opportunity, not just for seclusion, not just for isolation, but to get closer and closer to God. And depending on your membership level, in this gym of our Christian walk, you may find it difficult to understand certain things. But that is why there are Raglan Road or RRCC gym instructors to help you on your journey. So what are those things you need to lose? Now let's go to the main reading. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. Says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lacking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lusts and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Look, if any of these things mentioned, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, is lacking in you, it's among you, the Bible says, and I say to you, put them to death, because they will not help you. The things you have to put to death are things that are of selfish ambition. It prevents God from coming closer to you. It prevents you from developing and becoming the fruitful person God wants you to be. God wants you to have a new nature after having come to Christ Jesus. You see, the eye that looks at sin must be killed, must be destroyed, and that eye must look at Jesus. In the Old Testament, a group of folks were being disobedient to Moses. Snakes were biting them. Snakes represent sin anyway. Were biting them. Now God instructs Moses to lift a pole and put this snake on top of that pole. That whoever looked at that snake was going to be delivered. That was the cross. Jesus was put on that cross. That by you looking at him on the cross, you have your deliverance. That's my gym bottle. You see, sexual immorality should not be seen in your life. This letter was written to Christians. So it happens that at one time you came to Christ and you probably didn't know that these things are not supposed, you're not supposed to do these things. Now, you've grown up in Christianity. You're not sure. you probably fall short one way or the other. You go out there, you commit some acts, and then you come back. It is bad. It doesn't fit your life as a Christian. If you need help, seek help. Sexual immorality will destroy you. Uncleanliness includes the words we speak, the coarse joking, the funny jokes we tell, and the like. It doesn't fit your life as a Christian. Check what you are feeding. Sometimes what you're feeding on is what comes out of you. And so make sure you are feeding on Christian diet, the right diet, reading your Bible and praying. That's the basic and essence of our walk with the Lord. Check what you are watching. Covetousness, Bible says, is idolatry. It's like idol worship. There are elements in your life you need to open your doors and get rid of them. Because as long as these idols, these things are with you, it will steal your love and affection for Jesus. Pornography. If you find yourself watching pornography, look, it will dull your understanding. It will kill your mind. It wows you. Anything that wows you doesn't make you think deeper. And God will not be speaking to you. You are destroying your relationship with Him. And unfortunately, it's a false representation of what sex was meant for. Get rid of those things. If you need help, shout out. The instructors are available. Get rid of materials that are not befitting your life as a Christian. Filthy communication out of your mouth. I get amazed when I hear and see Christians using swear words, the F words and the N words, and get rid of them. They don't fit our lives as Christians. I would say you used to do these things when you were in the world. So how come that you've been in Christ and sometimes you find yourself doing? Check them. There are things you need to check them. Sometimes I believe if you don't check them and get deeper and deeper with God, you tend to doubt your own self sometimes. Sometimes they talk about all these things, salvation and clapping of hands and hallelujah, and it's like, what are these people talking about? You don't really know. And sometimes, quite frankly, you mock God. You mock God in your heart. But it's time to get rid of these things. Verse 8, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Is any of these things lacking in your life? Let's look at a practical example, anger. You've been an angry person all your life. You don't want to forgive. Your mom, your uncle, your sibling, someone did something against you many, many years ago. And you're struggling to forgive this person. You feel a bit proud. You think that going to this person and saying, let's resolve this matter, is demeaning. But listen to what happened. God came to us when we had offended Him in the person of Jesus. You know what you have to do? It is the offended who goes to the offender and reconciles. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. If another believer sins against you, if put your mother, your brother, your sister, or whoever, if somebody sins against you, go privately to him and point out the offense. If the other person listens to you and confesses it, you have that person back. Verse 16, but if you are unsuccessful, take one or two of your gym instructors, one or two of your leaders, and go back so that everything you say may be confirmed by witness of two or three people. If the person refuses to listen to you, take your case to the church. Then if he or she will accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt taxpayer. I tell you, whatever you is forbidden on earth is forbidden in heaven. See, so Jesus gave us a format as to how we resolve issue with our brother or sister or somebody else, even in the church. Go to that person. Living with anger is an extra layer, like an extra layer of fat. And it works against your spiritual journey. Put it off. Put these things I've mentioned off. It's unhealthy for you. And if you don't deal with anger, it develops into an unforgiving spirit that will breed wrath. And wrath can kill. Your anger can lead to malice. Malice is saying things behind people, things that are untrue. And especially when they can't even defend themselves. And I get amazed how Christians do these things. In verse 9 says, do not lie to each other. Do you find yourself lying? You know what you are saying is not true. Get rid of that. Shed that load. It's an extra weight. And haven't done all that. In verse 10 says, put on a new nature. Put on Christ. Christ is like a garment. It's a habit. It's a lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle. I don't know what other lifestyle better than being a Christian, than being committed to Christ Jesus and his Lordship. Put off these things. And the question is, you are asking, what are those things you need to put off? I've already answered you. The reason why you need to put these things off is because God wants your attention. Jesus illustrates in John chapter 15 by using the word fruit. You are meant to be fruitful. Fruit that lasts. And you know fruit has to be squeezed. We are not even talking about the squeezing aspect to nourish somebody's life. We are talking about the fruit stuck on the vine to even be more fruitful. The things we've already mentioned, if they are found in your life, will not make you fruitful. Unfortunately, we don't put this analogy into practice. When you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice out of it. When you squeeze lemon, you get lemonade. When you squeeze a Christian, what should come out of you? Christ. May I put to you that because Christ should dwell in your heart, when you are squeezed, that is what should come out of you. Because he's the fullness of your life. Hallelujah. And the reason why God wants you to come to him, he wants to fill your life, is because God wants to fill you so that you become a blessing to other people. But all these lifestyles we've been talking about are selfish orientations that will not allow the glory of God to be seen in you. So it's a big challenge. Put off this weight and put on Christ. Hallelujah. Personally, I have a test for who a true disciple, who a true follower of Christ is. And that is what I personally do to myself. And I'll propose that to you. If you want to follow Christ, some of the questions you should ask yourself is, what would Jesus do in this situation when you have a hard decision to take? What would Jesus do in this situation? Or would Jesus be happy seeing me doing what I'm doing right now? Look at what you are doing in your closet. Don't think anyone is not looking at you. Is Jesus going to be happy with you? If Jesus was standing there, would you be doing them? Or the last question is, what does the Bible say here? You may not have all the answers in the Bible, but most of the answers for our life and our godliness is spelled out in God's word. Now, how do you put him on? You may ask. You see, you are what you eat. If you want to go to the gym, if you want to stay strong, if you want to stay healthy, it's what you eat. You are what you confess. Whatever you proclaim becomes a part of you. And sometimes you pay your gym membership and don't even attend. May I propose to you that the same attention, the same carefulness you give to your daily upkeep should be used in staying closer to Jesus. Get used to his word. Get used to prayer. And sin will depart out of your life. The moment you kick out study of the word of God and prayer, it's an open invitation for sin to be indulged in your life. So get used to his word. The second thing is that you need to admit that you have a past. You need a friend to bring out the best in you, and that you want him with you always. Christianity is not just a list of do's and don'ts, but it's a pursuit of a lifestyle God will use to establish his kingdom. So reprogram your thinking completely in case you got it wrong. These things are not applicable to all of us, but if you have doubt, if you're lingering in between opinion, make up your mind, reprogram your thinking. Christianity is the best way of life. I'll be very quick. Put out foreign materials you have with you and get used to the Bible. Sometimes we find it difficult to even open the Bible, but this is how I would do it. There are so many examples of God's word in the Bible. You need to make it personal. I will show you one of them. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, listen to what Paul was saying. Now, wherever you see you, put your name there. So, wherever you see you, I will say I. Ephesians 3, verse 16. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower me with inner strength through his spirit. Verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in my heart, and I'll trust in him. My root will grow down into God's love and keep me strong. Verse 18, and I may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how deep, how high is his love for me. Verse 19, may I experience the love of Christ, though it is too light for me to fully understand. Then I'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power of God. Hallelujah. Read the Bible, personalizing these things in your life. If I were you, I'll be praying this prayer almost every day for 1 month or more and see what you become. Go to the gym of God's word with a confession. These confessions, personalizing some of these things, these are prayers when you pray, God answers them. Hallelujah. Understand that you are sinless. The truth is, you are sinless. Don't see yourself as sinful. Don't give in to sin. Romans chapter 8 verse 12 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Verse 13 says, for if you live by this dictate, you will die. But if you live through the power of the Spirit of God to put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. It is not an obligation to live under the burden of sin. Last week, Pastor Kev said that you died with Christ. And it is interesting to know that Jesus sees you as sinless. You remember the woman who was caught in adultery? You remember what Jesus said to her? He says, go and sin no more. Jesus sees you as a sinless person. Don't let the devil deceive you. Let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 7 to 12, actually. It says, for when I died, I've paraphrased it again. When I died with Christ, I was set free from the power of sin. And since I died with Christ, I know I will also live with him. I am sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Now listen to this one, verse 11. So I also should consider myself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus. 12 says, I will not let sin control the way I live. Do not give in to sinful desires. And this is another one Paul used to say. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. I wish you can repeat this after me. Sometimes Brits don't want to be instructed. I understand. That's why we left the EU. But this morning, do you want to declare, I have been crucified with Christ? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. Make that declaration almost all the time to yourself, and the devil will flee from you. Sin will flee from you. If it's happened that your gym membership in salvation requires renewing, requires a new membership, if it requires that You need to come to Jesus, accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Bow down your head with me and say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. You died for me to restore to me my glorious position in the Lord. Therefore, be my Lord and Savior today. Give me a fresh start. Grant me the power to overcome sin. If you've prayed this prayer faithfully, God will come and dwell in your heart. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.